You can go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy. That's where we'll be today, taking a break from our series for this special day. Let me just go on and say Happy Mother's Day to the moms in here. Thank you for being here and spending this special day with us. I hope God speaks to you. I never will forget as a child, and especially in some of my wayward years, I would always love it when I would go to church on a day like Mother's Day, Father's Day, something like that. I'd say, man, finally the preacher is going to give me some kind of rest, right? He's going to be talking to moms. He's going to be talking to dads or something like that. Or 4th of July is going to be talking about freedom and patriotism and all these things. And finally, Holy Spirit, you can give me a break. Well, if that's how you came today, I just want you to know I'm not just speaking to mothers today. I believe God has a word for us all, but especially you moms as you help lead the charge in some of the things we talk about today. I just want to brag on our church for just a second, just a small, I don't want it to feel like a commercial about how good the church at Southside is and you as a people, but I just want to brag on you for just a second. Two people in particular, Brantley and Jesse, have put a lot of hard work into the new stuff that we have back here. You'll notice a new soundboard, and I want you to know, like, the wiring of this and the running of this and working out the kinks. And Brantley, I know, wants it to be perfect, and the frustration that can come with all of that this morning. I want you to know their heart because of that, because of all those things. These guys wanted to spend time in prayer this morning and say, let's get past the production part of it. Let's pray. If stuff goes wrong, it's okay. We're here for the Lord. And so that's their heart in these things. But I want to brag on you this way. Because of your giving above your tithes and offerings and others doing the same, everything that you see is completely paid for. We are debt-free in that, and it is above our tithes and offering, above our budget. And man, that's something to be excited about and thankful for. And so I just want to thank you for a giving heart and let you know that something that may come from that that's been talked about, we had a system that is back here that is a little more portable. And there are men in this church who have God has placed on their heart to take what we do here in some kind of way, possibly in the near future, out on the streets to some of our homeless friends. And so possibly even using some of what was back here, using it out there and taking the message of the gospel in the streets. And so God is doing some really great things. So I just wanted to stop and say thank you for being who you are, okay? Everybody good with that? This is a good body of people that God has brought together. So Brantley and Jesse, thank you again for all your hard work in that. Well, Happy Mother's Day. And from that, I just want to take us into the unusual time that we live in 2016. It doesn't take one much time to look on the news and see the stories that are going on and realize that we are quickly becoming an anything-goes society. Would you agree with that, with the things that we see on the news? There's no need to go into the list of what those are. You see the stories like I do from the things we see in politics in our own state, the things we see about marriage and bathroom usage and all of these things that we see. It's a crazy world in which we live in. The shock factor news stories are now commonplace. I challenge you, watch the news. You will quickly want to turn it off. Jamie and I did this not too long ago. We watched we watched the news one night and we said, let's just count the negative stories versus the good stories. You remember us doing that? And it quickly got like to 10 to 1 negative news stories and then the one good stories. And then they're like, oh yeah, back to Birmingham, someone's been shot, killed tonight. Right? Just a real Debbie Downer kind of moment. And so it was one of these things, it's like, we don't even want to watch the news anymore. We're so frustrated, especially as people who believe, people of faith. It's so frustrating to watch in disbelief as we shake our head at the world in which we live in. It is an unusual and strange time in the world we live in. I've kind of coined it and I've heard others, so I don't know that it's anything original, but I think it's the doctrine of feel-goodism. That's really the doctrine that has taken over in our society. Feel good is whatever makes you feel good and whatever makes you happy is prominent. I would love to say that really when we turn this on and we look in the news that this is where we see it, but I want you to know, I believe there is also a place where feel goodism has raised its ugly head. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. We see it. We see it in the world that we live in. We see people that are believers, of people of conviction, but yet are somehow teetering in this world of dabbling in both. this rich faith in God, but yet somehow this feel-goodism and everything's okay. But we shouldn't be surprised. Paul warned Timothy, this young preacher who he was a mentor to, and I guess that makes Timothy a mentee. I don't know what you call that. But in here, I want you to look with me, 2 Timothy 4:3. I think it's a pretty good description of some of the times that we're living in. Paul, this great man of faith, this apostle, this one called to the Gentiles, writing young Timothy, this young pastor, this one who was a spiritual child, if you will, of Paul. Here's what he says. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. We see this. We see it prevalent in the church. In fact, Donald shared with me this morning, I won't go into detail, but I shared a testimony of a meeting he went to where someone just out and out a false teaching about Jesus and who he was and of the health and wealth of God. And we see that in the church, and someone standing in a pulpit and teaching false doctrine, teaching this feel good is a teaching, really just be who you want to be and just everything is okay. Nothing is wrong. God loves you the way you are, and just be that way. And there's no real call to action, no real call to change. And as we see this, and we see this mindset as believers, it is a frustrating time to live as a believer, not only in the world, but as I said, it's prevalent in the church. We see this feel-goodism in the politically correct itching ears of brothers and sisters. In fact, at times, maybe we see that feel-goodism and that political correctness and all those itching ears and those things when we look in the mirror. Maybe it's crept into us. People who would say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ and believe He is the only way, but surely God loves this and is okay with that. And if we're not careful, it can happen. So what to do? When really looking at this and looking at a way to combat all the things that are going on, I want you to believe where I believe the first place is that we are to combat these things. It's in our homes. I want you to think about that. In your home, in your life, no matter your family situation, no matter where you live, I believe this is where we start. In fact, if you will, I've been reading in Exodus, and I know coming into this story and really this great life of Moses, there's going to be a leader that comes after, and it's this great moment in a guy by the name of Joshua's life where Joshua just has this moment as he's about to die, and he's standing before the people of Israel, and you've heard it, but he stands before them, and he says, choose you this day who you will serve, and what does he say? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He looks at this great country, this great group of people that God has done so much for, and he comes to a place where he says that really just the stiff neck of these people and the way they turn from God, the way they turn from their commitment from a holy God, really, I've got to stop and I've got to make a stand. And he's telling them, choose for yourself, but as for me and my house, my home, my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua understood this principle that it starts at home. What a better day than to talk about this as Mother's Day. Mothers, we need you. We need godly mothers that will help in these ways with a loving and nurturing spirit that points children and others to the Lord. This is needed now more than ever, and I want you to see again another prophetic voice in Scripture in 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 3 and verse 1. Again, Paul writing to this young pastor named Timothy, here's what he says. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpleasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Some of them will run for president. That's the world we live in, right? We look at this and we say, man, if there's not a clearer picture in Scripture of our world today, this is it. You look at things like this and you say, man, this is describing America and our world to a T right now. In fact, I just want to kind of venture off. Brandon, I know you're a fan now with me of Eugene Peterson. I want you to listen to the Message. As he writes, if you're not familiar with the Message, it's a paraphrase of Scripture, more in a little modern language. But listen to this same passage here in these five verses. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags. If you are just mad at somebody tomorrow, you just tell them, you're just a bloated windbag. No, don't do that. But that's funny stuff. Bloated windbags. But listen to this, continuing on. Addicted to lust, and listen to this, the most defining characteristic, I believe, in this message portrayal here. Listen to what it says. After addicted to lust, and allergic to God. Well, dude, we're not living in a society right now that really feels allergic to God. Michael and Hope Stevens, we found out this morning, are very allergic to poison oak. We don't know what both of them were doing to be rolling around in poison oak. You'll have to ask them later, right? But they're covered in poison oak. They're allergic to poison oak. And we see a society that really is allergic to God, and not necessarily God. God is okay. In fact, we hear the statement over and over, the big man upstairs. I hope the big man upstairs really looks down on me with love. But you mention the name Jesus, and it will set people off. Allergic to the name Jesus. Really, you can mention anything you want. You can honestly tell somebody today that today is really, Jesse, today is a rough day, and I swear I feel like I am this guitar today. And it would be okay. People look at it and say, well, strum your life away, right? Be the guitar. Be free, my friend. But you go to someone and tell them that Jesus is the only way. Oh, how dare you? How dare you mention the name Jesus? It's like an allergic reaction is taking place. Right? They need their Jesus EpiPen to be stabbed somewhere, right? It's like, I'm dying here. You're mentioning the name Jesus? How closed-minded are you? This really is just this clear picture here. Allergic to God. Listen to this. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. But God's Word says, stay clear of these people. But they're animals. They show this religious nature. Sounds like a very descriptive look at the world in which we live today. I'm telling you, I believe more than ever the family of God needs to rise up. Today, 2016, the families of God need to rise up. And this begins with our homes and as individuals and as families. Moms, you play a big role in this. You really do. Just the love and the nurture that you can point children in this way. In this letter to this young pastor here, Paul, as mentor, is writing Timothy, and he tells them of these days ahead and how things are going to look. And boy, it really does look familiar as we look at it now, this dog-eat-dog world in which he lived and which we live at today. And here's what Paul gives him an answer in this letter. I want you to go backwards and look in 2 Timothy and start at chapter 1 and verse 5. Here's what Paul says to Timothy in the beginning of this letter. Has to echo in Timothy's mind as he's reading about all of these things that he's facing in this dog-eat-dog world. In verse 5 in chapter 1, it says, Paul to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure it dwells with you as well. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Paul writes this young man named Timothy, and he tells him, I see just a genuine, sincere faith in you. In other words, Timothy, when I look at you and I see this world in which we live and this world that is coming, I look at you and see someone, brother, that is sincere. You really mean what you say and say what you mean. You are a believer in him, and you're living life in an opposite way, kind of going upstream, if you will. But Paul points to a legacy of faith. That's why I think it's important to start in our homes. I think it's important for moms and dads alike and grandmothers and grandfathers to point people in this direction. But let me tell you this, it cannot be inherited. It's not something that Morgan and Bradley can look at me and Jamie and say, man, my parents have a sincere faith, so therefore I must have a sincere faith. That's not what Paul is talking about here. It can't be inherited, but it can be passed on, if that makes sense. It has to be this owning up. It has to be one of these places where individually they own this sincere faith. See, Paul here says, he doesn't start and say, grandmother and mom has a sincere faith, so you have a sincere faith. He's telling Timothy, you have a sincere faith, and boy, it sure does remind me of your grandmother and your mom that went before you. started early in his life. It was passed down from a godly grandmother and a mom. Our homes are important. But I want to challenge you this morning. Whether physically you become a mom or a dad or not, there is a call to mentor. There's a call to have spiritual children, if you will, mother and father roles. I want to tell you, there are people in this life that need that father and mother role that don't have it from a father and mother. They need someone to step into their life to mentor. And if you don't believe in spiritual children, I want you to look at what's going on right here that we're reading today. This is a letter to a spiritual child that Paul has. He's writing someone that he cares deeply about in Timothy. He's writing him and telling him all of these things that he should do in his life as a pastor. It's a pastor to pastor, and he's mentoring him, and he's telling him, Timothy, this is the way you need to go. And sometimes, even in Scripture, Paul's saying, follow my example, right? Being a good mentor in this life. And with another preacher, Titus, if you want to turn there later and look at it, Paul writes and tells him, talking about older women, he says, really, you're to teach and to train the younger woman. So this idea of mentorship is heavy on Paul's brain. What about making disciples? Jesus' last earthly words. Really, Jesus could have said anything. He could have warned about, hey, this is going to happen in the future. Here's the response you need to take. Jesus was pretty clear. He just said, make disciples. I want you to understand that the life of our homes and the life of this body as a group of believers, it should be to replicate. It should be to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. It's the way God intended it to be, mother or not, but being a spiritual mother or father. I just want you to think about it in this sense. Every Timothy needs a Paul, and every Paul needs a Timothy. Just think about it that way. In your life, you need a Paul. In your life, you need someone who's been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and met, whether they made it through unscathed or messy or what, you can still go to that person and say, man, I want you to be a Paul in my life. I want you to be a mentor to me, right? I want you to walk through life with me and help me. I want you to disciple me because you've been there, done it. Maybe older in life or maybe not, but maybe older in their faith. And then every Paul needs a Timothy. Every person in here who's a believer needs to bring someone along who's younger in the faith and say, man, I just want to mentor you. Take the initiative in that. Let it be a spiritual child. It doesn't mean someone's better than the other. It just means mentoring and taking that role seriously in discipleship. I was thinking about this whole thing, and really I just want you to know, here's where I think the problem and the rub arises. I feel like in today's church, right, possibly even in your own heart, is you've got people who are dabbling in both. Right? You've got people that are in the church that really believe with a sincere faith that Jesus is the only way. But we live in a world where it's so hard to live that out. Would you agree? It's just tough. Like, Jesus tells me to do this, but the world tells me to do that. By the way, I want you to know that's not a new struggle. Go read the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest message ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever preached. Jesus, time and time again, is telling a hillside of people, you have heard it said, but I tell you. One of the greatest teachers I ever had on that moment of thinking of that hillside sermon was this, and just picturing it in my mind, that while many came to the hillside, it wasn't just the 12. As many came, and many followers who had seen the miracles and had heard about this Jesus, and they're there. Each and every time, if you want to picture it as you read it this next time, each and every time, as Jesus would teach, and he would say, you've heard it said, but I tell you, see a handful walk off. Another handful walk off. Another handful. And at the end, it's just his closest followers. We see it even some accounts. It's like, y'all don't want to leave too, me. Right? I mean, Jesus is so counterculture. And somehow us as believers, we look at this idea of saying, man, being a follower of Christ means that everybody's going to love me and everybody's going to, man, that's nowhere in Scripture. That there's going to be some kind of radical difference in us and some kind of thing of just this bold faith that we've got to have, that it's not going to line up with everything that this culture says. It can't. It can't be both. It's like straddling a fence. It just doesn't work. It will not work. But yet we find the church, and possibly, if we're honest this morning, we find ourselves as this faith in God, and then somehow faith in a broken world. Faith that if I just do the right things at work, I'll get the promotion. And faith if I just do the right things, I'll drive the right car and marry the right person and have the right house. And if I'll just do, and check off the list, everything will be fine. Really, that's faith in a broken world system. And really, our faith needs to be all in, all chips on the table to all we got. I was thinking about a story this week, and I had to chuckle in my own mind thinking back to it, thinking how scared I was. And I'd like to share it with you this morning, and I think it kind of illustrates faith in the wrong thing. Anybody ever seen or heard of, this is like a redneck just dream. I mean, this is awesome stuff right here. Anybody ever heard of an amphibious vehicle? Have ever heard of one? I'm going to tell you, this thing is bad, right? I at one time, this is not bragging, but I at one time was the only amphibious dealer in Bessemer in the Birmingham area. I was a dealer because I wanted one of these things so bad. I called them up and I said, how much is this thing going to cost? And they told me, and I was like, I can't afford that. I was like, well, you become a dealer and you could buy just two at this price. And it was a little cheaper and you could sell one of them and keep one. I was like, sign me up. I want one of those things, right? And so I get this thing, and it was amazing, right? It's six wheels, if you don't know, six wheels. Kind of looks like a miniature tank. It's a skid steer, right? I mean, it even feels like you're driving a tank. You know, when you're full throttle, it's like pushing it down. It's like to pull right, you pull to turn right, you pull it right, you pull left to turn left, and it turns on a dime. It's bad. It cannot be stuck. It's just physically impossible. I tried it every way possible to stick this thing. You can't stick it. There was a winch on front that never got used because you just never got stuck. I'm telling you, it was a redneck dream. Well, what the amphibious vehicle does is this. You can be driving on dry ground, and I promise you, wide open speed, go into water, and it'll float. And it even drives. When you push the throttle, the wheels turn, and it becomes like a little paddle, man. It's slow, but you're just out of the water. It's like a boat and a car all together. I'm serious. It's like a redneck dream. Throw a fishing pole in this, throw a rifle in it, you can hunt and fish at the same time. It doesn't matter. It's amazing. Talk to the guy on the phone, and he says, all you've got to do when this thing comes to you, by the way, it's camo, had a roll bar, a winch, awesome, right? Big, beefy tire, just awesome. Still wish I had. All you got to do, the guy said, all you got to do is put oil, right? Love that southern word, right? Oil and gas. That's all you got to do. I can still hear his words saying, put oil and put gas and you'll be good to go. Good to go. Good to go. So what did I do? We rolled that baby off the truck. We put oil in it. We put gas, and me immediately said, we got to get this thing to water. Like, it has to get to water. Immediately, this thing was born to go in the water. We have got to set it free and take it to the water. So here's what I did. I take it to my parents' house. We unload it on the trailer. And I'm telling you guys, I got the throttle wide open. I didn't even just ease off into the water. My faith was so great in the words that all it needs is oil and gas and you will be good to go. See, my faith was in a guy that I had never met. Come to think of it, going back, it didn't sound like he really knew what he was talking about, but he just said, you'll be good to go. You'll be good to go. If you'll just follow this, you'll be good to go. It was a voice in my head that I heard. I was excited, and I went with everything I had. This thing wasn't just super fast, probably 30 miles an hour. But when I hit the water wide open, I want to tell you, with such force and bravado, such faith in the man's word, you'll be good to go. The force pushed me out so far. This thing is very slow in water, by the way. Top speed of like 3 miles an hour. Seriously, 3 miles an hour. When I went out, it literally just off the bank, man, like Dukes of Hazzard, like jumping in the air kind of thing, went off into the deepest part of that lake. I started to realize that I was taking water in very, very, very fast. And I've got the hammer down, I've got it turned to the right, and my panic sets in. I've got to limp this thing. I'm fixing to sink this brand new machine in the water. And so I cut it with everything. I mean, water's coming in. I've got my hat off, throwing water. I've got my hands. I'm like, the guy's filming it. I'm telling him, stop filming it. This is horrible video. Stop. Help me. Like, I'm about to drown. I knew I could swim, but I knew I was about to wreck the brand new on the maiden voyage. My redneck heaven machine was about to go to its early death. Day one. So what was the problem? I listened to a guy. I listened to a voice and didn't know what he was talking about. I had faith in somebody that I shouldn't have had faith in. I had faith in something that really, when it boiled down to, and I got back and I realized what had happened, I made it back to the shore, barely. I'm talking barely. When I pulled up that front wheel, it would not pull up. There was so much water in it. I was soaked, like to my waist, soaked in water, like sweating, like horrible first voyage. Everything went wrong with this thing. When I pull it back up, and I get, man, I wish it was from Buffalo, New York. I thought about driving to Buffalo, New York, and punching this guy right in the face. When I got back to where we were taking it, I got back and I realized that there was this manual in shipping. It's funny how they do that. And it said you need gas, and you need oil. You also need to put the boat plugs in the bottom of the boat. I was so mad. I was mad twofold. I was mad at the guy in Buffalo, New York that I couldn't punch in the face that wasn't in front of me. And I was mad at myself because I had the manual. I had the plugs. I had everything I needed. I had everything I needed to have the right faith. The all in faith is good, but let me just tell you, from my example, all in faith on the wrong thing, then it could leave you sinking in the middle of the lake. And all honesty, I was thinking about that story this week, and I was kind of chuckling, I was laughing now, and maybe we'll laugh it off and have fun with it. But I was thinking about that story this week. Jamie and I had the opportunity to be off this week a little bit. We were at the beach, and I was just thinking about that story and just watching the water out there in the ocean. I was thinking about, man, remember that time about Satan, my cool new toy? I was thinking about that faith in the wrong thing. I was playing back on life, and I was reading a book. I shared with a couple of guys you saw on social media, if you follow me. I was reading this book this week, and it was all talking about faith in the wrong thing, and coming clean of this thing of just really placing your faith back in God. And where is that faith? Where is the mystery of God gone in our life? Really, when we were a kid and we accepted Jesus as your Savior, if that was your story, or you accepted Him later in life, the amazement and the wonderment of God was so rich, so thick, and so heavy you could just literally feel it. And maybe now, after years, it's just kind of dumbed itself down. Where did it go? Did the power of the Holy Spirit just go away? Maybe is it us over time just softening that gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit, but we can't even hear it, we don't live life, and we don't place faith in God because, quite honestly, we don't have to anymore. Think about your life right now. All right? Think about your life right now. You may not have it great based on the world standards, but I want to ask you this. Do you have clothes on this morning? Yes, everybody. If you don't, please go to the back. Did you open your fridge and you have food? Did you have a car to get here this morning? I mean, really, in this life, in this world, what the devil wants us to do is to put so much faith in us, so much faith in the other voices that we hear, like the guy on the phone said, just do this and you'll be, listen to me, good to go. Good to go about had me drowning in the middle of the lake. And all I had to do was read the manual and put the plugs in. And I could have still had the same all-out faith. I still could have enjoyed it and went wide open. But the voyage would have been a lot different, right? I'd have been out there cruising around on the lake, just having a good old time, telling the guy to film it. It would have been great. You would have seen proof of video. By the way, we deleted the video. It's horrible. Yeah, about sunk the thing in the first voyage. It was all because my faith was placed in the wrong voice. I just want to challenge you this morning that really that is the dilemma. What is your faith in today? Is it faith in a holy God who's giving you the manual and giving you the plugs, right, like not to drown? Or is it faith in the voices of others that said, just do this, man, and you'll be good to go? Moms and dads, I think in our homes, brothers and sisters in the walls of this church, our world needs it. Our world needs to see that it starts with us and that we're believers of strong faith. Paul writes Timothy and encourages in a selfish world filled with false doctrine and itchy political correctness ears and people who are allergic to God. Remember your passed down sincere faith. Remember that. Cling to that. The one that you've been taught about. And I urge you the same, the moms and the rest of us, leave a legacy. Legacy to even if it's not a physical child, a spiritual child that you may have. And I challenge you today, if you weren't left a legacy like that, if you weren't left one that you could say, remember the faith of your grandmother and your mom, start and break the chain right now. You leave the legacy. You leave the one for your children and your spiritual children, those that you disciple. I'm telling you, our world needs it today. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, I pray in my heart that we could be individuals and people that leave a legacy. That we wouldn't be silly like me and just rush on off to any old voice that says we'll be good to go if we'll follow this or do that. That we take time and we consult your word and consult other brothers and sisters and pray and listen to the Holy Spirit, and that's the way we would live life. With a little more information, then you'll just be good to go. Help us to have faith in the right things and not to put our faith in ourselves or this world, because both will leave us broke. Father, we need you. Father, our world needs you. It's, as we said, you can turn on the TV and look and hear the news stories, and it's just mind-blowing. The political correctness and the itchy ears and the people, as if the message says, that are allergic to God, especially Jesus. Father, what's it going to take? I believe it's going to take our homes. I believe it's going to take our families and us as individuals standing up for what is right and not doing so as a jerk, not doing so as if we have everything figured out or we're better than someone else, but as the great quote that's been used by so many preachers, I can't even quote who said it first, that we're just beggars who found bread telling other beggars where the bread is at. And we would tell out of love and compassion and saying, man, this life doesn't have anything to offer you. Put your faith in a living God. If we're like the brother whose book I read this week, that maybe we're so out of touch with that faith and that it's become such commonplace and we've softened the gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit so much that we can't even hear it anymore, God, would you bring us back to a place of faith? Bring us back to a place of dependence on you, and that we look to you first in everything that we do, and that you're the funnel with how we live life, that everything is poured through you. Father, if we do that, I'm not saying we can change the world in this room. Maybe we can. God, you've used a group of 12 to spread this whole gospel message and others. But Father, I do know that we can make a difference in this room. I do know that we can make a difference in this city and those that we come in contact with. Father, that's what you placed us here for, to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. But it starts with us. We've got to have faith in the right things, and that's you. Father, we've got to be all in. Help us, Father, in a world that is so hard to live that out. Help us to soften the voices of others that says you'll be good to go if you'll just do this. And help us to focus on you. I pray that for our moms, that they can lead in that with the help of their husbands and the fathers. Father, I pray that others in this room, Father, that we would be spiritual fathers and mothers to those in need. Father, that same love and nurturing spirit would be shown to others who maybe haven't had that benefit, and that in their life, they could be the one that starts a legacy of faith in their family. Father, help us. We need you. We can't do this on our own. Forgive us for where we ventured off on our own path. Help us to have faith in you alone and not this world in which we live. Remind us that this is not our home, and we're merely ambassadors here, and that we should be living for you. We love you. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, and thank you.